It works better with two. Ask me if I'm having a good conference. Are you having a good conference, Rob? Ask me the question. No. I got a special version of Dutch hospitality called having your luggage stolen, which means pretty much everything I'm wearing is brand new. It's quite good. And I'm now lying in bed thinking of those people going through all my stuff at home because they've been in my case and they know I'm away. So I had a good night's sleep last night. And so do you want to hear any more of my problems? No? I mean, you're here to find out about Bluetooth on Windows Phone, NFC, correct? Or are you here for the jokes? Jokes. Okay, fine. Right, you're here for the joke. That's good. Good to know. Okay. So should we just get one out of the way early so we're all calibrated and then we can sort of move on? There's a friend of mine. He started going out with a girl that's got X-ray eyes, but I've no idea what she sees in him. I was at work last week, and my boss came in and said, "Rob," he said, "I've got some great news. I've just bought a computer which will do half our work." And I said, "Oh, why didn't you buy two?" Moving on. Okay. Don't want to overstay my welcome. Remember, this is a great time to plug the reviews. Please fill in your review cards and whatnot. And you could win things that are in those pictures, including phones, tablets, Xbox One games, and a really nifty mains adapter thing. And a round thing with a grill on the top that seems to serve no purpose at all, but I'm sure there's something really... So, okay, what are we here for? Well, I want to talk to you today about Windows Phone and local communication, what you can do with the phone to actually allow it to talk to other phones and external devices. This is kind of like a lead-in to the presentation this afternoon, where I'm going to have some hardware, and we'll be actually talking from the phone directly to embedded devices. And that's going to be kind of funky and should be interesting and might even work. You never know. So what I'm going to talk about this time is effectively setting the scene for that and the kind of things you can use to do Bluetooth comms. How many folk here have used Bluetooth already? Anyone use Bluetooth? One or two? Oh, good. Make sure you keep them on the straight and narrow, please, guys. it's actually... The more time I spend playing with the Windows SDK for the phone, the more I respect the guys that built it, because most of the stuff that happens is pretty much self-evident in terms of figuring out what the APIs do. And when it comes to actually using the stuff, what you tend to find is a particular theme is repeated and repeated, and so you can reuse your knowledge in all kinds of different circumstances. And the Bluetooth and the NFC stuff works very like that. You can reach the point, I think, quite comfortably where you could add a bit of Bluetooth or particularly NFC connectivity to pretty much any app that you might want to build. So if you're thinking in terms of anything where an app might need to share data between users, then Bluetooth is great for that. NFC, in many ways, is even better. And if you want to do things like set up a communication channel, in a quick and easy way, then NFC is good for that too. I've been playing around with phone-to-phone networking, and one of the things you have to do is each phone will get an IP address on the Wi-Fi network, and you want to pass data backwards and forwards between the phones. That's fine, that will work, but each phone has to know the IP address of the other one. NFC is great for that. Both phones can go on, find their IP address for the adapter, which is the Wi-Fi, and then connect using NFC and just pass that string back so they can then start pushing data backwards and forwards across an internet connection, which is kind of sweet. So we'll cover the fundamentals of how to do that. We'll get you started doing some Windows Phone Bluetooth comms. I've got a few demos that work a lot better with two phones. Thank you again very much for that. And we'll go from there. So that's kind of how it's going to be. This is the perfect time of day, I've decided, for learning about Bluetooth and comms. There's no better way to learn about this stuff than at 7:45 in the morning before breakfast. So I've done extensive tests on this all around the world, and they found this is your perfect learning time, okay, folks? trust me. I'm from the UK. It's an hour earlier for me, so it's even worse than that as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah, Bluetooth and Windows Phone, app-to-app comms using Bluetooth, connection management, and near-field communications, or NFC, on Windows Phone. Quick word about Bluetooth. Was this, was it some king who had blue teeth because he liked berries and that's why they called it Bluetooth? Is that the truth? Is this Norse king who had blue teeth from eating lots of blueberries? Is that true? That's what I would. I've got it off Wikipedia. It's bound to be correct. It's basically a short-range networking standard. Devices expose services as endpoints for other services to connect to. Windows Phone 8, of course, has got Bluetooth. There are one or two limitations. Data rate isn't great. Range isn't great. You can't have more than 8 parties in the conversation. One of those would be the master, the other ones would be talking to it. We've all played with Bluetooth, and, well, we've all used devices that make use of it. So away we go. If you want to write a Bluetooth app, then the first thing you have to do is go into the capabilities dialog in Visual Studio, which is where you tell the system the kind of demands your application's going to place on it, and you must turn on networking and proximity. And once you've got those two in place, that means that when you build it and deploy it, you won't get any nasty errors coming back at you because you haven't told the system you want to use those particular assets. If you do this, it's a once for that particular application kind of action, and once you've done that, then you can also use NFC tags as well because they're kind of tied together. NFC tags are great fun, and I'll cover those towards the end, and they're going to get even better with Windows Phone 8.1. I'm going to cover that as well right at the very end. So this is all good, splendid stuff. You also have to bring in a bunch of namespaces, proximity sockets, and streams. The whole Bluetooth connectivity story is built on TCP, well, networks and streams. So if you've done a bit of that, then you're pretty much sorted. It's very, very similar to how TCP, Transmission Control Protocol, and UDP work. So you create a socket. That socket will then manage your connection, and you'll then actually just push data backwards and forwards over there. So it's actually quite easy to do. You have a question, sir? Yeah. I've not noticed any issues with battery life on the thing. What I've done is, and we'll be doing this afternoon, I've set up Bluetooth connections between devices. This is the phone and a small embedded microcontroller. And I've pushed data backwards and forwards pretty quickly. I'm flashing lights, you'll see this afternoon. And what I've found is that when your phone screen locks, or the app gets pushed into the background by something else, the Bluetooth connection remains open, and when you go back to it, it kind of picks up again and keeps going. And only if you back out of the app does it drop the socket and throw things away. In terms of performance, it's not TCP/IP speed, but it's good enough to push reasonable amounts of data. It's a bit range-dependent, but I've never had a problem with it hammering my battery particularly. It seems to be quite... Mind you, I've got a 1520, which has an absolutely enormous battery, which is rather nice and tends to last forever anyway. But I've not had a problem with that. I'll tell you the story this afternoon. But basically, my daughter's getting married in May. She's nice. We were talking about the arrangements for the reception, and Jenny said, well, I said, what do you want for the table decorations? You know, we're not in the middle of town. She said, all I really want, Dad, is I want some glass bowls with some lights in. Well, so of course they have to be remote controlled. Of course I have to do it over Bluetooth. And of course I have to use the phone to drive it all. So I've been, for the last three or four weeks, I've actually been fiddling around with Bluetooth on the phone, pushing data backwards and forwards, leaving the thing going for as long as I can with the phone connected to it and seeing what happens to the battery. And the answer I've just discovered is not a lot. It just sort of sits there. I think if I hammered it more, well, I don't think you'll have that. You may have other problems. That will not be one of them. But come along this afternoon. That's going to be kind of fun because I've actually got some of the prototypes. Thing is that she's deciding things like where to get married, the catering, the music, the dresses, the clothes, the whatnot. I'm deciding whether to use Arduino or MicroFramework and whether to use 16 LEDs or whatnot. And this to me seems like a very fair division of labor. I think this works really. It takes me into a happy place where I can have complete control and everything's lovely. So I'm very happy about that. And I think she is too, because it keeps me out of her way, which is always a good thing to do. So back to the plot. Yeah, in terms of power and speed, I found it's good enough to push stuff around. If you're pushing big lumps of data around. And then what you can do is, like I said, you can actually, if you've got two machines that are both on the same Wi-Fi subnet, get their IP addresses, you can make a socket up and push it backwards and forwards that way. And you can use Bluetooth to configure that, because the peer finder, as we'll see in a minute, makes it really easy to find other applications which are active in devices which you can then connect to. Back to the plot, Rob. Okay, so those namespaces are the ones we want. And at that point, we can then move on. And effectively, two ways to do it. Today, I'm going to be talking about Bluetooth phone-to-phone communication. And then this afternoon, I'll be covering the phone-to-device stuff, which is kind of fun. There is no Bluetooth support in the emulator. If you want to debug this stuff, you have to plug a phone in and debug the inside the phone itself, which is fair enough, I suppose. I have done things where I've faked it using bits and bobs and threads to simulate the other end, you can do that kind of stuff. But generally speaking, you need a phone to do this, you need a proper device, and then away you go. So let's have a go at making this work. Now, there's a little health warning here. Don't run with scissors. And, okay, fair enough, a bit early. There's a lot of slides, okay? I've got lots and lots of step-throughs of the code. I don't expect you to take it in. I don't expect you to write it down. All the stuff will be on the conference website, so you can just basically dig this out and then work through all the decks, and actually it'll take you through setting the connection up. So don't worry about the fact that I'm going to go through these fairly quickly. It's because of the fact that we've only got an hour or so left, and I want to get to the end of all this. So a lot of slides, but don't worry about that. All we're going to do is the stuff you would need to do to set up a link between two different devices. We have to make ourselves available to be connected to, and then we have to find other hosts, and then we have to exchange messages. And so we've got basically a three-screen app, which we're going to build. Now, you could use this for anything. You could use this for file transfer. You could use this for sharing contact information, images, whatnot, or for a game. So you can make a two-player game. And so if you do it as a game, what you've basically got here is I want to host a game, a lobby system, and then the game comms itself. So you can do... I'm going to have a go at this. I'm going to... How many folk here have heard of Cheeselander? Oh, one or two. Have you ever bought it? It's the only game in the world where you have to land a piece of cheese and a piece of bread. And that's all you have to do. And it goes a way back, and it's one of my XNA demos. And it will return tomorrow. I want to make... You tip the phone, the cheese falls down, it hits the bread, it plays a happy tune, and then you move on with your life. That's how the game works, basically. I want to make remote Cheeselander, where one guy has got the cheese and the bread, and the other guy's controlling it. So he has to tip his phone to make this. So this guy's going left a bit, right a bit, the other guy's steering it, so that might be kind of fun. So I'm going to do that with Bluetooth. I'll see if I can do it this afternoon. But this is how you would do that. So if you don't have any kind of two-player game, that kind of stuff, five-player game, whatever, that's how you do it. So let's have a go. Three pages, there they are, main page, search page, and talk page. We'll just bounce between them. I'll use the app class to share data between them. So it's a fairly standard. If you've not done much Windows Phone stuff, then don't worry too much. This is, again, a fairly standard way to structure things, kind of old school, but it works for me. And as the user moves from one page to the other, then they actually use the different parts of the app, and that's how we do it. So first thing I do is we say hi and set a station name. So I'm going to basically appear now. I allow the user on mine to type in the name they want to be seen in the browse window by, but you could use a GUID, you could use the piece of data from the phone, your app could have a configuration thing, whatever. So they're going to put a name in, say, hi, I'm Fred, do you want to talk to me? Then other people can see Fred and decide to talk to him or her or whatever or not. So this is on main page, which is the starting page of the app. And so you type in, there's a good name, Rob, easy to spell. Also means theft, which we don't want to talk about anymore. So you type in your name, you hit join, and at this point your system becomes visible to other programs running the application. Now, if you've played with Bluetooth before, there's quite often a pairing process where you have to pair with the device you want to talk to. The good news about this way of working is you don't actually have to do that. Once I'm broadcasting the fact that I'm running Rob's application and I want to talk to other people, anybody else running the same app can find me and connect to me. And I'll show you that in a minute or two. This is the event handler for the button. So the button, we press the join button, the code just goes off. It actually stores the name. If you had a Windows Phone app, then what you need to do is have a central place where you can store things that isn't in any of the pages that you're moving between. And generally speaking, I put things in the app class to do that. And so I get myself a reference to the app class. I then pull the text out of the name text box, and I slap it into a variable called chat name, which is where I'm holding the name I'm chatting with. And having done that, that's the end of my join page. I'm good to go now. So I then do a navigation. I jump across to the search page, and that then will display all the people I could possibly chat with. And so here we go, the next bit. So where the user can search for people and chat with them. And when we press the search button, it will start looking for people. At this point, I'm broadcasting the fact I'm Fred, and I want people to talk to me. And I can also hit the search button and see who else is out there. And I'm going to find a partner and hit the button to start a point-to-point comms link with them. Okay? Peer Finder is lovely. Peer Finder does all the heavy lifting for you. It's just the place you go to find out who else is out there that you might want to talk to. It just works. You don't have to pair people. They have to be running the same app as you, same version. That's fine. When the search page is loaded, we've actually got to start the peer finder thing. And all we do is this. We make ourselves a peer finder. We set his chat name to display name to the name I'm chatting with, which I get from the application. And I then bind a method to the connection request event. So if someone says, hey, Rob, can I talk to you? Then the event will fire and we'll get going. And then I start the thing going. So the peer finder is a static thing that's always there, pretty much. And you can just set who you want to be seen as, bind to the event handler that says, when you get a message, call this method and we'll see if we want to talk. And the third one then starts things going. Does that kind of make sense? Everyone happy so far? Okay, that's excellent. Good, I'm happy. That's fine. So there you go. Find the current app, set my name, bind to the event, start things rolling. And that's it. So what happens now, I had to had to borrow a lot of phones for that screenshot. Actually, I'll let you into a secret. I cheated. I actually had a for loop with some names in and put them in the list box. One of the things that I have found in this business, rule number one, is make yourself a nice place to work and cheat when you have to. So if you need six names to go in a list box to show the thing working, just write a for loop that takes six names and slaps them in there. Take the screenshot and then comment it out. But it does work. I'm just thinking this is doing wonderful things to my credibility. But no, it does work. And so the idea is that we're broadcasting names out. We've got four people out there, Fred, Rob, Jim, and Ethel. And we keep hitting search. And so how does the search work? Well, I call the method called find all peers async. It's an async method, so I have to do an await on this. How many folk here have used await? Await is wonderful. It's so clever. Basically, everything's moving towards asynchronous operation, where you don't ask a question and get the answer straight back. You ask the question, and they go off and get the answer, and then bring it back to you later. And the problem with that in the old days is you had to fire off threads and bind to event handlers that told you when it was ready kind of stuff, which was horrible. Hated doing that. The await keyword hides all that. What await says is, okay, I'm going to fake this to make it look like it's synchronous. I'm going to fire a thread off, run it behind that await keyword, bring you the result back, and then you can use it underneath. But I'm going to return at that point straight back to the thing that called me. So there's a thread now going off that will then come back and continue with that code for me. And then eventually, the next line of my statement, my program will get obeyed, but it'll be at some later time. And this is really nice. Because if there's one thing you should take away from this presentation, apart from that really good joke about the X-ray eyes a few minutes ago, which if you arrived late, I'm sorry you missed that. You have to watch the recording. It's get your head around how await works. Start playing around with the keywords and async, because it's a really nice solution, and it's everywhere in Windows 8 and Windows 8.1, because it's the best way. Yes, you have a question, sir?
If I make a new version of an application, can I then still find the old
If you make a new version of the application.
How does it pair the application?
It's so. Oh, sorry. Yes, I've done that old Rob trip called confusing the audience. I do apologize. When you're running, I think the question is how does it find out which version is which? I think there's the question about, I've got one version of my program running in here and another version running in a second phone that I want to make them talk. It is quite version sensitive, in the program running in both sides has to be the same one, in my experience. But your mileage may vary on that one. I'm not actually trying. I could try making a modification in one of the programs, seeing if it still talks to the other one. We can try that. But as far as I'm aware, it is actually fairly closely keyed together. Although I'll have to check that. Thank you. That's good. I'll find out and blog the result on robmiles.com. Okay. Thank you. So this will go off in the background, find all the peers that are presently wanting to talk to me, and then all I have to do now is display them. And so what I've done is kick that. Last time I kicked the light, it broke. So careful, Rob. So I want to display all my peers that I've received. The best way to do this is to make a little tiny class called peer information. And what peer information does is peer wrapper. It wraps around the peer information stuff. And this is effectively a little bit of view model action in that it's only got a couple of members. One of these has the one. It's the peer information, and it returns the display name. The reason, I'm confusing the audience again, aren't I? I can tell. There's a sea of blank faces. What's going to happen is I'm going to call this thing, and it's going to give me a list of these peer information values. And the snag is, I can't display them very well because they don't have a string that I can bind to my list box, and I really want to do that. So what I'm going to do is make a little tiny class, which is teeny tiny, and just contains the peer information and provides a two-string method that just gives me the name of the thing I want to see in the list view. So what's going to happen is that I'm going to construct a whole bunch of these and then bind those onto the control so it'll look like a list of names when I fire it up. And so that's the two-string method, which just gives the name back. And at that point, I can then sort of get this and put it on my control. So for each instance, we'll get the name coming back as the person who wants to talk with me. And so there you go. I have a list of these, which is an observable collection, so that I can pop things in and the screen will update the display. And I just get this list and I slap it onto my list box and I get my information on the screen. It's kind of like a convoluted way of saying, you've given me a list of things, but I can't really use those to show the customer what they want to see. So I make a little class that sits in the way and gives me the string that I want to see. Does that kind of make sense? I tried it just using my peer information list, and it gave me gobbledygook on the list. So I put this, that's a technical term, is gobbledygook. Yes, I've used that many times. And so I bind that, and away we go. And that's And so, yes, this is how I do it. Go get my peers, and then for each of the peers that I've got, I'm putting it there, that doesn't help you at all, does it? For each of the peers, I just slap them. I make a new peer wrapper and slap it in my list and then bind that to the screen. Bottom line is what that will mean is you'll see all the people that you want to actually talk to. It's kind of like a very sort of primitive view model class. It just has that two-string behavior. And I can pull the peer information out of it when the user touches on that particular one. There are bad things that can happen in this life. I could tell you again all the bad things that have happened in my life. We haven't got time for that. Could have been worse, though. I could have been born ugly. Moving swiftly on. If you want to be sensible about the errors that you're going to get back, these are the exception handlers that I've put in. You can get exception raised. If you try and use my program and Bluetooth isn't turned on, then you get an exception thrown. If you've not enabled the capability in the application, remember those tick boxes at the start, that'll get thrown. Now, that shouldn't happen because your app shouldn't get to run full stop. But if it just so happens that you put the code in whatnot, then fine. The bottom one is if you're not if you haven't started Peer Finder and you start looking for things to come back from it, so if you've forgotten to call that start, you get the third exception thrown, which basically means you're not actually advertising yourself, so you can't see what's out there. And so these are the ones that it's best to catch. Again, it's all in my code, just steal it. It works a treat. So now, if you're following the plot, we have a situation where we're saying we're Fred and we want to talk. We've had a list of people that we want to talk to. And so now I've actually picked someone and I want to go talk. So we just have to basically touch the one we want. And I've bound an event to the... You can get events to fire on controls in Windows Phone when users do stuff. One of those things is touch a particular item in the list box. So off we go. And so now we're actually making the call. We're creating the connection. And so when they hit it, if we've actually got an item selected, I'll go off and get it. Here's a... Oh, no, it didn't go through. Okay. It basically finds the one I want and then calls start chat. So I'm just about to start my conversation. So the user touches and they want to talk to, and then this piece of code runs. And so now I go off and get my little wrapper, pull the peer out of there, and call start chat. And start chat will get us talking. And it does that by pushing the peer into my app so I can keep it for later use, and then heading off to the talk page, which is where we actually do our chatting. Here we go. So I can type things like, here you go, what does it say? Hello, hello, can you hear me? Hello, just, yes, if anyone has... kind of thing I would say, that's right, yeah, hello, right. So you type in stuff at the bottom, and hit send, and then you can see the discussion going on at the top there as we go. And so this is the nub, if you like. This is how we actually get things going. First thing we do is go off and get a socket, because like I said, this is all socket-based comms. Second thing I do is stop advertising. There's no point in me telling folk I want to talk, because now I'm talking, so I turn off the peer finder. That saves power, and also, because I'm talking, I don't want anyone to try and talk to me. And so now I'm firing off the thread. Now, I'm kind of very old, so I'm doing this the old school way. You could actually use the thread pool, and in fact, what I'll do is when I put the code up there, I'll actually do a thread pool version as well. So fire off a thread tied to a method called process incoming messages, start the thread going, and this thread is basically going to wait for a message from my chum, display it when it arrives, and then go back and get another one. That means make the socket, make a synchronous socket, link it to the peer I want to talk to, and the peer finder does this all for me. Stop broadcasting who you are, because no one cares anymore, if they ever did. And then put their name up on the screen so we can see who we're talking to, and then fire off a thread to actually start the conversation and start displaying the messages. I was looking at my code.
Where do you make the distinction with what communication channel you use, like Bluetooth or Wi-Fi or...
Ah, okay. The question is, where have I told it how I'm talking? And the answer is the peer finder is sorting that out for me. So that the peer finder has been basically told to advertise yourself, and it's then got a response back on the basis of that. And so the actual peer finder is being given the connection to talk to, and off we go. So it's inherent in the way I've done it. Okay. If I wanted to talk using TCP/IP, I'd be using the sockets command set the connection up. But the peer finder effectively goes off and makes the stream for me, and it does that on the back of the fact I've set a Bluetooth connection up. Does that make sense? Okay. So the fact that it's Bluetooth is because that's where we came in with this. So started running, and then away we go. Handling errors, I just have a thing that effectively puts a message box up, turns everything off, and then returns to search. So if we do have bad things happen, then we really have to tidy things up a little bit and throw things away. And so I'll cover that in a second or two. But at this point, we've now got two things talking. One program part is listening for messages coming in and displaying them, and when the user presses the send button, we have to push messages the other way. And so let's look at incoming things first. And this is my magical little thread. It doesn't do much. It says, well, this is kind of like Rob's simple code. Set a flag to say, have we finished or not? And then spin until that thread becomes false. True. Yeah, this is a bit early, isn't it? It's worse for me. So I'm an hour ahead of you guys. I see, or behind that. It's terrible for me. Anyway, so this is kind of the stuff. The way it's going to work is that the user will signal the end of the conversation by putting in an empty line. And that will effectively cause us to tear down the communications and actually stop the thing from going. And so if they put an empty line in, a thing inside the process incoming message try bit will set a flag to stop us. It'll set finish to true, and then away we go. And if we get anything bad happening, we set the flag as well, so just to be sure. So that's my loop control. That's my do the heavy lifting bit. That's my catch anything bad happened. This is my tidy up and go back to where you were. So we just keep on going. How do we get the messages? Well, we await the thing. If it's an empty string, we give up. Otherwise, we display it. And what display does is it just pops it on the end of the text box. So wait for a message. If it's empty, we're done. Empty means finished. Show it to the user. And then around we go. And this is getting the message. This is probably the gnarliest slide of the whole thing. This is my task that's actually going off and getting messages. If I've not got a data reader, then make one. So first time round, it'll actually do that. And then having done that, go off and get... It's a bit messy, but it works. I have to do two things. Bluetooth is just going to provide stuff, okay? So we have to impose some kind of a structure on that so that the stuff that we get actually lines up. And you want to know where the string ends and when it starts. And so what I'm doing is I'm reading the length of the string in bytes, and then I'm reading the string. And these data readers are great for that because basically you tell them what type that you want, and they'll go off and get that type for you. And so I say, tell me the byte that gives me the length of the string, and then I read that number of characters in. Does that kind of make sense? One of the things that I hit this problem when I was doing the lights, and you see this afternoon, I've got my Bluetooth device in the lights waiting to be told what color to do next. And I have to have a way of syncing so that it knows when the color information starts. And I invented my little protocol using a little bit of bit stuffing, which I'll talk about this afternoon. This is like a mini message protocol. And effectively, I'm sending a number, which is how long the data block is, followed by the data itself. Because it's you're going to have to do it like that. You could use delimiters. This way, though, is the simplest way I've found. Just tell it how many characters you're going to get, and then send them. And when we send the message, you'll see that we have to assemble this data to go the other way. As far as you're concerned, if you want to send strings, just use this. It'll work. Okay? So we just use this, and away we go. And to actually display it, well, we just get our string, find the app, push it into the actual message to get the name of the person sending it to us, and put it on the end of the actual text box. And that's what this bit does. It just takes the string and puts it into my chat text box. So I take the text I've typed in, I put line feed caption on the end of it, and the message, and that goes on the end, and then away we go. Because of the way Windows works, we have to make sure that that happens on the display thread, so we use Dispatcher to do that. Does that kind of make sense? This is all sort of how phone apps tell the screen things, and that's what works for me. So we now know how to get stuff. Let's look at how we send stuff. When they click the button, we call my magic send message method, and here we go. So make a data writer, send how many bytes, make it if it isn't there already, send how many bytes, send the string, and then display it as a message I have said. So this is the flip side. So if you do want your two programs to talk over Bluetooth, if you want to send just strings of text, you'll have to do a bit of heavy lifting. If you're just passing integers backwards and forwards, it's easy. You just use the top half of that. So in my Cheeselander remote control game, one guy will be tipping the phone, and I'll be sending back basically the accelerometer values. So if I do this right, it should take about half an hour to finish because I've already got that. I've already got a program that actually reads accelerometer. I just have to decouple that, put it in the other program, and have that guy tipping and this guy playing. I'm going to have to try that now. come along this afternoon and find out how far I've got. Okay, so, but you build your little protocol, and then away you go from there, and then we just show the user what they've typed in, and the last little bit's kind of interesting. If we've been given an empty message, close everything down, and what close down does is basically it takes the whole thing down for us, of which in a second, the user presses the back key, which is a way of moving off the talking page. Again, I want to close the page down, so I send an empty string at that point, and away we go. So I turn everything off, dispose of all the things I'm using, if I'm finished with them, that's the end of that. Right, okay. Let's see if we can make this work, okay? So what I will do is I'll get my nerves of steel, and I'll polish them for a while. I've got Intercom running on my lovely big uh, 1520. So I'm going to start him running on here, and I'm going to call myself Rob because, well, it's my name. And I'll hit join. So what this system is now doing is sitting, broadcasting the fact that, hey, I'm Rob, I need some friends to talk to. Then I'm going to start up the client phone, which is on my PC, and get that going. Now, I'll run this in Visual Studio so we can actually see it do its stuff. So I'm going to deploy this thing to the device. Everything I've shown you is all here. There are my three pages. This is my, let's embiggenify that a bit so you can see it better. There are my namespaces. The main page, as we know, does very little. If the user hits the join button, then all we do is we say, okay, get the name out of the text box, and then move on to search, okay? So when you go to search page, and again, this is standard, boring Windows Phone stuff. Pretty much all the action happens in the loaded. If you're wondering what those magical, mystical numbers are, then I've actually put them in there. Those are the exception messages that we get if bad things happen. I've wrapped them up in nice, sensible, friendly names, which you can then just take away and run with. These are my peer information list. When we navigate, we actually start the peer finder up, get it going, make myself my observable collection, and bind the peer information to it. And then that's pretty much, there's my show peers when they hit the button to show me all the people. Let's get this thing going and see how we're fixed. Oh, you've locked yourself up again. That's fair enough. That's okay. I can fix that. Right. So here we go. This will, of course, work perfectly. You won't see anything on the emulator, of course, because I'm deploying to the device. So you'll see it on here. So we've got, I'm on there as Rob. I'm going to go on here as Fred. I like typing Fred because the keys are in a square. It's very easy to type Fred. Did you know that? The little square like that. F-R-E-D. No? Okay. Right. Stick with me, folks. You'll learn stuff. So I hit join in. So this guy is Fred. This guy is Rob. If I hit search, then if I go down, put a breakpoint here, and hit search, boink, then there should now be a rattling noise as he goes off and tries to find his peers, and he's found Rob, and I haven't hit that breakpoint. Oh, amazing. But, see, the word Rob's on there. See, Danny? Trust me, it is there. And so we actually can set our connection up. I don't quite know why it didn't get hit. Oh, because I put it in the exception handler. And of course it worked. Right, okay. Let's do... How many folk were here 2 years ago and every single one of my demos failed? Yeah, that was memorable, wasn't it? Yeah. Oh, yeah, great, yeah. I still wake up at night in a cold sweat thinking about that day, you know. So let's go back and do that again, because we can do it. We just keep on pressing. So if I go and put the breakpoint on the line above, there. Now, I want a big round of applause if this works. So much for that. Oh, you go. Yeah. You hit a break point, they're happy. I like that. Okay, so if we look in peer info, and we pull that down, count is one, and there he is, it's just Rob. And that's my little tiny wrapper class, and all it has is effectively a two-string method that returns the display name, the thing I want the user of my program to see. So we're going all right here. I have a person that I want to talk to. It's popped up on the screen again. So what I can do now is, since I've got that name on the screen, I can set a connection up with them. And so effectively what's going to happen is if I hit the name on the screen, if I do this, boink, then another breakpoint. So now what we're doing is... and clap for that one. That one's fine. If we have actually picked a person to talk to, and we have, then I'll go find them, and I'll call start chat. And start chat will actually start me talking. Okie dokie. Yes, but he's a property, which is not helpful. So it says, I'm going to give you a message that I'm doing things which are useless. Do you want to see this message again? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I want to. So, yeah, here we go. Get the app, find the peer, and then go off to the other page. So what will happen now is on my program, we'll actually wake up in the talk page, which is, so let's go and put a break, let's run ahead of ourselves, make the text a bit bigger again. And so now on navigated to, which is what will happen when I navigate there, set the program running. Oh, I do love this. And so now we're just about to arrive on the talk page. So this is where I set my connection up. I stop the thing going, start the thread running for the received information, and away we go. So I'll just let that run on. And so now I've actually got this guy is good to talk. This guy is waiting for a confirm message, which I'll have to hit again, because just as I said that, the screen timed out. Oh. All right, okay. Let's just try that again, please. Oh, yes. Oh, good. I thought that would happen. Yes, right. Okay. The technical term for what's just happened is I hate my life. Okay. So let's start that up again. And we'll call ourselves Rob. Or Rib. Rib will do. Rib is good. Hit that. I hit search on here. Come on, fine. Here we go. There's Rib. Hit him. And so now he's going to say, do you want to chat? So I'm going to say, okay. And so now, yep, we're on the chat page. Keep going. Because I want to show you the NFC stuff in a minute. Oh, that's funny. So now I can type stuff in here. Hello. And hit return. Hit send, sorry. And then Rob says hello. And hello appears on here. So now I've got my little action going. Like, if you don't believe me, and why should you, then if I go into here, I can put a breakpoint on receive message, which is display receive text. That is just displaying the thing on there. Where are we? Here we go. There's my little thread that's doing the reading. And so if I go down to process incoming message, again, I just love Visual Studio, then this guy's spinning. At the moment, it's sitting waiting for a message to arrive. If I put a breakpoint here, and then in my program, I type hello again, and then hit send, then bang, we hit that breakpoint, and we have a look at the message, and the message says hello again. See, so... what we're doing is effectively bouncing backwards and forwards, and it'll keep on going until I back out of this page, at which point it sends an empty message, and we tear the connection down. Does that kind of make sense? Okay, I've got 30 minutes to do an NFC, which is pretty much perfect, so what I will do now is I'll stop all that, and we'll move on to the next part of this glorious cavalcade. I wish I could think of another joke to tell you, but maybe later. Preserve some excitement and danger. So, that wasn't helpful at all, Robert. Let's go back to there. That's more like it. So that demo, yeah, I'll call that a win. I may do a cartwheel now. Maybe I won't. So, yep, NFC, near field comms. There's two sides to this, and I'm going to do both of them. When I get my mouse to work. There you go. So, NFC is slightly different from Bluetooth. Has a different name and everything. It's called near because it's near. And it's called field because it uses fields. No, what you have in the back of your phone, if you've got NFC, is a coil which you can use to fire up the power supply in NFC devices. And the idea is that these things are centimeters close before they work. So lots of your security issues go away because the physical proximity is actually a pretty good guarantee of security. You're not going to tap your phone against just any old thing, are you? Or I don't know, maybe you are promiscuous phone tappers. Who knows? quite frankly, you look... never insult the audience, Rob. Never works. The idea is that we don't have to worry quite so much about things like pairing or authentication or whatnot. To communicate, the devices have to be very close. And on the phone, you basically have a little bit of accelerometer action too, so when they tap, the information gets pushed across. So what you can do with this is you can actually set communications up and pass data backwards and forwards using NFC. Because they're very close, we don't need to worry about security particularly. And like I said, you can use these guys. You can use passive NFC tags. These are actually quite fun to play with. I bought a roll off... I got these on Amazon. And this is basically the cheapest way you can get them. I think these were about 90 pence each or something, or maybe a bit cheaper than that. And what you've got is they come on a roll, and you just sort of stick them on things. You can put websites on here. You can put appointments. You can put all kinds of stuff. The big problem with Windows 8 was that you could write tags, but they had to be formatted tags, and you couldn't set the write protect bit on the tag. So you couldn't really write a tag and put it out there anywhere public because, I work at university, and the first thing that happens if you do things like that, the students will go and they'll reprogram your link to robmiles.com to point to something that isn't robmiles.com. Let's leave it at that. You don't want to go there. But on 8.1, you can work on unformatted tags. You can talk to travel cards and whatnot, and you can also lock things, which is extremely useful. But on Windows 8, you can still do it. It's still fun, and I'll show you how in a minute or two. Okay, so first thing we'll do is we'll just publish a message. Now, like I said, peer-to-peer games, if you and I want to play a game together, we have to get our phones connected somehow. If we want to talk over Wi-Fi, that's fine. If we're on the same subnet, that'll work a treat. But we have to get the IP address across. And NFC tags are good for that. This kind of thing is good for that because I can touch the phone against the other phone and pass the data backwards and forwards. And the thing about this is the code is tiny. There's nothing to it. That's it. I wonder, I might have one other thing to do. I get my device, I publish the message, and there's three parameters, really. The message, the type, which is Windows.NFC, that's the type you must use, and then the text you want to send, and then an event handler, which you can fire if the message gets delivered, okay? And the publish ID, the long, which you get back, is a number which you can use to tell this message from any other, and that just gets bigger each time you use it. So you can tell, when you get the sent handler fired, you can tell which message actually got sent through. So you just call those two lines of code, and you're actually pushing out that message now. And when it's fired, the message that says, hey, we got it, we can stop publishing that message. We say, don't bother sending it anymore. And then we just call a bit of code that puts the message up on the screen to say what it was that we sent. And that's it. It really is as simple as that. Receiving, well, you bind to a different event handler. You just bind to the one that says message received handler. You get your device, you connect to it, and you can do both at the same time. If you're going to go bi-directional, that's fine. My demo is one way, but that's because I'm very traditional. Ow. Moving on. So, this is called when you get the message, and it really is as simple as that. And so all my program does is display the string that's received, but you can do as much as you like with that. Like I said, I think any application, having done this session, you could wander away and think in terms of actually putting some of these behaviors in there. And with Windows 8.1, it gets 8.1 fine, it gets even better because you can actually allow applications to be trusted. How many folk here have played with tags on Windows Phone? There's a few. You should. It's hilarious. The problem with it at the moment on Windows Phone 8 is that when you tap the tag, and the tag could be something like send a tweet, send a text message, play a particular kind of music. I've got one in the car where I touch the phone against the tag, and the idea was I touch the phone against the tag and it plays some Steely Dan because that's what I wanted to hear. That's all good stuff, you see. And what happens Windows Phone 8, you touch the phone on the tag, it puts a message up saying, you want to run this tag, which I don't like very much. But in 8.1, you can trust applications. So you can say, this tag, I trust this one. Touch that tag, it's okay to run what's on there without asking me. And that becomes an awful lot more automagic. So you can get all kinds of interesting automated behaviors triggered by tapping these things against tags, which more in a second or two. But you can also use this to pass anything you like between apps that want to share data. And that's it. I can show you the code working now. In fact, I think I'd better, otherwise you'll never believe me. So my phone on here, I think you're speaking, or are you listening? You're one of the two. Okay, this guy's listening, but that doesn't matter. I can make him speak. What should we do? That's the listener. Let's go get the speaker. Let's not do that. This is my speak program, and it's basically everything I've shown you. There's nothing to it. It's tiny. This is what I like about Windows Phone. It's just so easy to write stuff. So there's my proximity device. I've had to turn on those two behaviors that we talked about before to allow the thing to actually think. So down here, I've put a bit of code in because I'm nice to my users. If I ask for NFC and there isn't one, and I put a message up saying you've got no NFC hardware on here, I think most devices will have that now, but if you're using a cheaper device and it hasn't, that way you can recover gracefully. When they hit send, I just say, if I've got a device, then just update my status block. And then do the publish, and then when I've handled it, sent it, it's done. So let's set that going in the device. Oh, you're going to sleep again. Okay, that's fine.
How much data can you store on
a... A few hundred bytes, not a huge amount. Depends on the tag. The ones I've got are only little, but you can get larger ones. I mean, the Windows Phone 8, the 8.1, you can use proper smart card type stuff. I've got an Oyster card, which I use on the tube in London, and I can touch it on my Windows 8 phone, and it will notice something is there. That's about as far as it goes. Whereas my chums who've got Samsungs can do all kinds of fancy stuff and show off. That's changing, and that the new version, 8.1, lets you actually get at that data as well, and there'll be APIs to do that, which is rather sweet. So let's set you going. So you want to speak, don't you? Okay, so I'll get you listening. So that's good. So NFC listen for you. Here we are. So this guy's listening. This guy's speaking. So I just type in, it says enter message. Oh, it's found my tag on there. No, ignore that, because I've just put the tags on the desk. So that's, stop it. Right, it's okay, enter message here. So we'll put hello with lots of O's. H-E-L-O. I hit send. This thing is now trying to send. Okay. I'll put a event, just a breakpoint on there. So when it's sent, we'll know about it. I'll now tap the phones together. Pardon? So if I get you guys to talk, oh, you're going to sleep. I love my life. Di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di So, back to you. Okay, stop you. Start you again. You're still listening. You're speaking. So I'll just hit send, save time. Tap send the message, bang. So he's saying, you said something, go and do it. Hey, at the break, of course. When you're doing demos, you get to a point where you interpret any possible outcome as a fail, okay? this is a depressing mindset, but, yeah. It says it's sent, it was message one, I'll bet. And so we just run on, display the message saying it's good, it's gone through okay. Around we go. So this thing here, oh, hello, I'm going to be... Well, thanks for that. Do you know, I've just thought on. One of my favorite jokes used to be, I'm sitting at the airport in Schiphol, and I'm wondering if I should leave my luggage in unattended. Is there any way I could find out whether I should or not? No? Okay, you always hear this, do not leave your luggage unattended. Well, I know why now, because if you do, they steal it. I digress. So, we just send a simple string. If you look on, if I just dismiss that, and you enter message here has appeared on my phone as it got pushed across. I didn't bother typing in a new one. So we've got a simple one-way message transfer there by tapping the phones together. And you saw that this application just came back and told me it had won. Now, I can't really make it any more complex than that without doing it standing on one leg or something, because it really is that easy to push information backwards and forwards. There's nothing at all to it. And the next thing, I guess, is even easier still, in that that's actually the business of sending information into writable tags. So that one's worked, that's good, I'm happy. NFC cards, like I said, this is just one packaging. You can get them in key fobs and whatnot as well. The stick-on ones are quite nice. If you pay them extra money, they'll produce your own artwork. And I have to be honest, in 8.0 on the phone, they were okay as a novelty to show off, but not particularly useful. 8.1, where you can lock them and you can nominate apps that allow you to run the things automatically, makes it truly magical, because it means that you can actually just write these things and then fire off phone behaviors. So you could tell for... You have a question?
Yes, please. Rob, do you know if you are also allowed to change settings?
I think you are, but I'll check up and blog it, okay? I believe so. Have you played with the Nokia NFC writer program?
Yeah.
That's got some lovely things in there. I don't know whether you can do that. I think you could probably make it trigger an app that did that for you.
Right.
That might work. Yes, that could be a way to do it. Anywho, I'll dig into that and put it on robmiles.com, which is my blog, of course, which everyone knows. All we're going to do is take a program that writes a URL to a tag. So the user types in the tag. In this case, of course, it's robmiles.com. Woo! And that will then get written into the tag for us. Turn on proximity, because otherwise it won't work. So it's one of the best reasons to do it. Bring in the namespaces. Those are the ones that I use. The text encoding and buffering is used to actually get the thing into a form we can drop into the tag, because the tag wants basically a bunch of bytes. And these things will actually do the encoding for us. Go off and make a device. Hey, wow, it's the same device as we made before. And then having got that, we can then start using it to send messages to the tags. And this is pretty much what happens. If they've not put any text in, then just return. Ha. If they have given you some text, then put a message up saying tap the tag. Then you have to build yourself a little buffer, which contains a bunch of Unicode, which is pulled out of the text that you typed in. That gets me the escape if there's no text in here. This says do some tapping if you want to send some stuff. And that is a bit of a pain, but effectively it pulls the text out and then encodes it into Unicode. So what you get is a bunch of bytes in a buffer, which you can then push into the publish method. Now, it's just irritating, but it's there and it works. So just lift that code and use it. And then we call publish binary method. Yeah, there you go. That's the text encoder. That's the get bytes that sort of gets the things from the encoder. And then we actually... that took a while to figure out how to do that. That's kind of a hidden treasure in the middle of Windows. And then this thing puts a message on the tag. And so all you do basically just steal my code. Works a treat. And then at that point, it's on there. This is the format I'm using, which is just write to the tag as a Windows URI. And then here's the buffer we're writing. Again, I got a callback that says I've managed to write this. That's pretty much it. So when I get my thing saying you publish it okay, then I display the message and everyone goes home happy. And now you're going to want to see me do it, aren't you? Shall I? Yeah, okay. So I guess I better have then, haven't I? Yeah. So let's get this going. Let's go find the program. Here we are. So again, all my demos and everything will go onto robmiles.com and also on the conference site, so you won't miss out. And so, you can, again, this is another one of these programs you can just pick up and run with, unlike scissors. Haha. Okay, fine. There used to be very old Windows, one of the first versions of Word had a tips thing you could press, and one of them was never run with scissors. The other one was don't wear stripes with plaid, which went over my head completely, as it did you folks, looks like. So, right, so when we do it, do the encoding, send it out, all good. Hit the go button, find a blank tag. That one's already got something on it. So I'll tear one of these off. Otherwise, it took all of them. My program is now showing robmiles.com, which of course is, well, where else would you want to go? Hit the right button. Tap the tag. Come on. There you go. And I say, accept. This is the only thing. The first time it writes it, the second time it says, do you want to go to robmiles.com? Of course you do. So it's written the tag. The word tag written has appeared there. I should have put a breakpoint on it. Let's do that again with them. Who wants a robmiles.com tag? Yeah, okay, you can have that. You were quick. Here you go. It won't change your life. Yes, it will. Okay, fair enough. I don't want your life. When in doubt, diss the audience. Works every time. Let's do that again, but put a breakpoint on so we can see when it's worked. Otherwise, you'll never believe me. So, there you go. Tear another one off. It's costing me a fortune, this is. So, run the program. Stop it. And run it again. I don't know why I did that, but there you go. Makes me feel good. Illusion of power. So we'll leave it at robmiles.com because, well, where else would I go? So hit right, tap the tag. There we go. It's published it. So now we change the text written. Doink. Run on. And so who wants this one? Okay, you're quick. There you go. So that's all there is to it, really. It really is as simple as that. And what's more, it works, which is also rather nice. So back to here. So to summarize, if you've got an app that wants to talk to another app over Bluetooth, you now know how to do it. And you can pass whatever information you like backwards and forwards. You're using streams, but that's it. You have a stream, yes? Ooh, that's a stormer of a question. The question is, will NFC tags and whatnot work on background apps? And the answer to the question is, on Windows Phone 8, no. On Windows Phone 8.1, I don't know. But I'm going to find out and put it on robmiles.com. I'd love to think so. I know the Bluetooth does, because of the Bluetooth you can talk to devices in background. So you can have things like running trackers, all that kind of stuff. You can do that in the background. I don't know about NFC. I would assume yes, but I will find out and blog that because it's a really good question. I should know that one. I apologize. But it's easy to send the data backwards and forwards. It's all sockets, but you have to put your own structure on there so you know when things start and end, which is fine. NFC provides a way you can push messages backwards and forwards. It's not really stream-based. It's more like, I'll give you a lump of stuff, which I'll push across to the guy. They can then impose their own structure, bring it back, and whatnot. And you also have this rather useful benefit that you are able to write to these guys as well. And the API for those in 8.1 is even better. I have some slides for related sessions. There are lots and lots of these. If I was going to another session, I'd go to the 1450 one, because that'll be awesome, and there are flashing lights. Whoa! It's rather sad that there's so much happening at once this year, because we've also got some more festivals today and a whole bunch of things tomorrow as well. But do remember, it's all being recorded, and so you can relive the magic, as I plan to do, by just going online after the conference. There's some good sessions tomorrow as well, and the one you should go to tomorrow is coming up here. It's that one there, this is the 1.15 one, where I'm going to show you how to get some mono game action on your Windows 8 devices, so you can bring back X, and you get bring back X and T-shirts or whatnot. Why not? As far as I'm concerned, again, quick reminder about a chance to win a strange thing with a hole in the top, which I don't think it's a vase. It may be a vase. I don't know. The other three things I'm more confident about. So please fill in the evaluations. We live and breathe by them. Tweet on TechEd and whatever. Read the words, even the Dutch ones. You can do that. Thank you very much for getting up so early and being such a splendid audience. Thank you so much.